everyone, it's Shawande, founder of Zora Digital. Welcome to episode 8 of Zora Talks, where we talk to founders and companies in the healthy lifestyle space. Joining me for this episode is Zora Digital's communication specialist, Maritza Chout. We had the opportunity to sit down with Adrienne Hughes Jackson and her daughter Brittany Hughes, the founder of Zuri Body Essentials. Zuri means beautiful, and this mother-daughter duo spoke to us about their mission to make every consumer feel beautiful and pampered with their line of shower gels, exfoliators, body creams, and oils. Let's get started. First of all, we wanted to thank you guys for joining us
thank you for having us.
Our Zora Talks podcast today.
Yes, thank you so much.
And we're going to jump right in.
Okay.
So we wanted to begin with an understanding of what is the one thing that made you want to become entrepreneurs. I know that there's like always a spark. So what was that first thing that led to your decision to become an entrepreneur?
Well, for me, I had spent many years in corporate America, working in a law firm, and I was paid well, but I wasn't satisfied. And I've always admired the woman who was an entrepreneur. I wanted that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing for me.
I would say for me, my inspiration of wanting to become an entrepreneur, my mom, when I was a kid, she used to make jewelry. And so I remember going to various trade shows with her, and so I was able to get a glimpse of entrepreneurship there. And as a little girl, I knew I always wanted to own my own business of some sort. I went through the phase of thought I wanted to do hair, I wanted to do fashion design, I wanted to do something that had where I had my own business. And so I've never saw it any other way. And that's just to be honest with you. And so even when I went to school with communications, it was always, it circled back to how can I have my own business, whether it's a clothing boutique, something. So that's just always been an inspiration of mine, just being able to have my own and it just be mine. And so that's just always stuck with me. And so I'm like, hey, this has got to work. So this is no other
there's
plan.
No backup
there's
plan.
No backup
there's
plan.
No
plan.
There's no plan. That is the best plan and not have a plan B. Yeah. That's almost
this
like makes you succeed.
Yes, this is a plan A, B, and C.
Yeah.
So that was that is for me. Yes.
Huh. So did you, when you graduated, did you ever have like a real job?
Yes, I've worked jobs, like small jobs, like customer service has been something that I've worked in. You know, I've had experience with working as a manager, supervisor level, human resource level. But it's just, even then, this was just a stepping stone. I've never went into a job saying, oh, well, you know, we'll see. It might happen. Mm-hmm. Every job that I've had, it was with the intention on me being here temporarily.
Hmm.
And that's every job.
And so that's really interesting, though, because I think sometimes your parents will be like, you got to get a real job.
Yes.
You know, you can't have a business.
Yes.
You went to school for something. So did your mom ever, was she encouraging for you to become an entrepreneur, or did she ever say, wait a minute, you got to go back and do what you learned in school?
I think initially, like when I was back in like grammar school, high school, she was really big on me being in the healthcare industry.
Okay.
Because, you know, like I always said, when my mom was in school, it was when you graduate from high school, get a job, get a job. When I was in high school, it was when you graduate, go to college, go to college. And it wasn't like now is start your own business. Like
right.
That's like a, if you can circle plan, I mean, A, B, or C, now that's like an insert now. That's an option that mm-hmm. are given to kids or young adults.
Yeah.
And so in high school, my mom, she's always wanted me to be in the healthcare industry because of the success that comes with it. And mm-hmm. what mom wouldn't want their child to be a doctor or whatever.
Right.
Exactly. So, yeah. But as I got older mm-hmm. and time has changed and things have evolved, she has always been supportive. Even when I was like 18, 19 years old and I wanted my own clothing boutique, she said, yeah, that can definitely happen. Like she always has been supportive.
Oh, that's so good.
Well, before we even thought about going into business mm-hmm. together, she has always been supportive in that aspect.
Okay, cool. Yes. And so what was the inspiration behind Zuri? What's the story behind your business?
Well, I've always had dry skin. and I've and eczema, and I've tried all type of over the counter type of things, you know, and nothing really worked. And so we just kind of started talking, and I was like, you know, let's just, you know, mix some things together and just see. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been, you know, interested in how things come together and the different ingredients, how they work and what they can do for your body. So we started doing research, and we started trying little things, and then we sampled them out. You know, like, oh, what do you think about this? And people begin to fall in love with our product, just even the little sample, which has evolved, which has evolved.
Yes, our business has definitely evolved.
What we came out with, right, what we came out with back 3 years ago is not nothing.
Well,
yeah, we're not even doing that anymore, you know. So that was the inspiration for me, is that I needed something that, that would keep my skin moisturized.
And then just to piggyback off what she said, when I was a little girl, we lived in Georgia, and so we used to make little homemade soaps. Remember the DIY? So I think it kind of started there, just the interest of constantly mixing and making. And I am a product freak. Like, I love just beauty products.
Right.
I've always been, you know, I'll have 50 million skincare things, and I'll go and get more. Like, that's just always been my thing. In Sephora, I'll go in there for a mascara and come out with 50 other different things.
Yeah, I've always bad to go in sometimes.
Yes.
Come in for this.
Exactly. So I've always been interested in what's on the label, what's in products.
Okay.
And so that was just the inspiration behind wanting to start our own line. A lot of times, you know, the different skincare lines that are out here, they're not made for us women in or us Black women in mind initially when they're at the you know, at the drawing board, figuring out what kind of ingredients for this, that, and the other. There are not a whole lot of skincare lines that are made with us in mind, initially.
Right.
You know, now they want to jump on a bandwagon just for the marketing aspect, but are some of the ingredients, are they good for our skin, especially?
Right.
And so I think that's where the inspiration has come in. And I think that our business represents a luxury line for women of all colors and shapes and sizes, but especially for Black women.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And yeah, so Adrienne, you're saying something really interesting where you were saying that you would start with the little samples to figure out what worked best. So what was kind of that first product that you tried out and had other people try?
Oh, wow. Was that, we did have a cream.
We had a cream before we called it the souffle.
Right.
We had a cream.
It was like a...
It was like a body butter.
It was heavier. I was going to use a better word. It was stiff.
I couldn't get it out.
Right, right. I mean, you know, it did the job, but it's no comparison to where we are now. So then we had that, and then we had
scrubs.
A scrub.
Yes. Okay.
We had a scrub. We did soaps. I did soaps.
Because
I'm really, you know, the one that's doing the mixing behind of everything. So I came out and I started doing soaps.
Yeah, I like soaps.
And
those were a big hit. People
the soaps were a very big hit.
Them.
Yeah, and I do need to recircle and bring those back. So that's what...
Yeah, so like what kind of soaps, like what ingredients were you guys trying out? Like were
honey.
They essential oils?
We had honey and almond soap.
With oatmeal.
And I would crush the oatmeal and then mix it in. Yes, we had that. We had a coffee scrub soap.
Oh, wow.
We had...
soap made with goat's milk.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So very nourishing to the skin.
Yes.
So people have been asking us about it, like, oh, when are you guys going to circle back to it? It's just we have so many other things that we want to get to, but that is something that we plan.
Product plan.
Yes.
Other than the soaps.
Yes.
Okay.
That's something we plan on circling back to.
So, talking about circling back, I would love to circle back and understand how did you get in this space? Because we heard you're a beauty freak. You guys worked together on coming up with some of the products initially. But what was your life before being an entrepreneur?
Oh, gosh. I have 33 years of intellectual property experience.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not an attorney, but I've always I've worked as in the docket, which is maintaining the docket for the attorneys.
Okay.
And that role evolved into supervisor and then manager. So I managed three offices, Chicago, New York, in D.C.
Oh, wow.
And it was
Boss.
it was extremely...
A lot came with that.
A lot of travel, a lot of stress, a lot of... And I was the only woman of color initially because I had been with the firm for like 14, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first started out, there was absolutely no one that looked like me in a supervisory role or management. All of the Black women worked either, they were either secretaries or they worked in the copy center. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine I experienced a lot of resistance. Mm-hmm. You know, here, you know, who does she think she is? You know, she comes along and I come in and I have, you know, years and years of intellectual property.
From both sides,
exactly.
Maybe.
And so it was extremely stressful. It was a very well paid position, and it allowed me to do some things in life that I was able to enjoy.
Right.
However, the bigger picture, I was extremely unhappy. I was miserable. Past unhappy. I was miserable in that role. And I really, really wanted to, that's why I was so determined. This is going to work. Because I can't go back.
You can't go back.
Yeah, wow. I can't go back.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I think a lot of times people, when you're an entrepreneur, you'll start thinking about, hey, I can go back to corporate America and get like a huge check, paycheck. But then you have to think about what else comes with that paycheck.
Absolutely.
We know, though, as entrepreneurs, it's not always easy.
No. Yes.
So, like, in comparison, what do you think the bumps are for being an entrepreneur? And with those bumps being happening, do you feel like it's still worth it to be an entrepreneur?
Oh, my gosh.
I would say it's definitely worth it to be an entrepreneur. When you want to look at, if you want to call it, pros and cons, from having a full-time job or just being in corporate America, there's a Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, you know, with corporate America. But when you're an entrepreneur, it's 24/7. There's no weekends, like, oh, it's Saturday, I can just kind of chill, do laundry. You have to be able to do laundry and still fulfill orders or, you know, make a post or just create content. Your mind has to constantly be working at all times.
24/7.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, even it's been times we'll be at the grocery store, just random times in the car. You have to really take advantage of every minute that you have. And I mean, obviously you have to set aside some time for yourself, but you know, it's very hard with being an entrepreneur. You can't just say, oof, it's not my problem, I'll get to it on Monday. You can't do that. Then your business wouldn't survive.
And with us having a product-based business, we're very big on customer service. Because you can go to different places and the customer service sucks. And they're not really concerned about it. They're concerned about the sale. But that, the experience. And so I think that people continue to come back to us because not only I think our product is amazing, but we have amazing customer service.
Okay.
We're very serious about that. Very serious about that. And no, I would not take this. I would not take it back.
It's stressful. The entrepreneur is still
right.
Back.
Absolutely. And then you know, with a job, you know, on the 15th and 31st, you're gonna get a paycheck.
Exactly.
With entrepreneurship, sometimes you'll get a paycheck. Something it may be really big one time, and then you know you may not make as much sales.
And
you know,
me,
so it does fluctuate.
And with me, I was getting real big Christmas bonuses, so all of that went away.
Yeah.
So I said, no, I gotta make this happen. Yeah.
Interesting.
And I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm at peace.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a good perspective, I think, for a lot of entrepreneurs who are questioning what they should be doing next. And just to hear your experience, and you had it both ways, and to hear that you still would land where
absolutely.
You are today, and that you're more fulfilled than you were when you were working.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Great.
You cannot put a price on peace. You cannot.
Or your time.
Or your time. You know, so no, I would not take it back.
That's good. So I'm going to kick it over to Maritza.
Oh, yeah. So when you guys were starting out, I know that you mentioned, like, making content. You know, even in the grocery store, you're like thinking about what you do next. So when you started out, did you find it difficult to get the word out and to gain traction on social media?
Yes. You know, social media and just creating content is a full-time job within itself, as creatives and entrepreneurs know. And, you know, it come to a point where our social media was suffering because we had our hands and our focus on other tasks. But we had to just learn how to delegate and give that to someone else to be able to work and do. And so we have our social media manager who helps us with content, and just, you know, it just takes that load off. So, okay, we don't have to worry about posting 3 times a day. We can work on something else or perfecting something else. And so definitely having to delegate has helped our business tremendously. For a long time, when it was just us doing social media, we were just at 300 followers, just stagnant. It was not going up or down. 300 followers. And so now, since we have had a social media manager, it has grown, and we are getting out there more. People are sharing. We've done a trade show. at the Ultimate Women's Expo, and people who are from Jamaica, but they live here in Chicago, they've been following us for months, and we've never met them before. So things like that mm-hmm. is really like, wow. Like, you know, so our name is really getting out there little by little.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you're on social media, too, when you start engaging with people.
Yes.
You almost form a relationship with them. You don't know
right.
them.
Right, exactly.
And especially if you, you know, kind of comment on their posts and then you react when they comment on your post. Mm-hmm. You start kind of like feeling like you know that person. And absolutely. It's really interesting.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then piggybacking off what you said, even for people who just to follow us. Mm-hmm. It's important with the content that we put out because then they mm-hmm. feel like they know us mm-hmm. with our brand. And, like, you know, because we're a mother daughter, you know, we're always seen together like, oh, I feel like I know you guys. Like, right. you know, so it's very important of what we put out. So, I would definitely agree with that.
That's cool. So I think we talked a little bit about how your product started, but how did you come up with the first formulation that you thought was going to work and be marketable?
Okay. The body souffle, for one, you know, a lot of people have extremely dry skin, especially like in the winter and colder months. We have ran across a lot of other entrepreneurs who have skincare lines and consumers who have purchased from other entrepreneurs who have skincare lines, and they've said that the various body butters or the souffles, they're very greasy or like where it'll to the point where it'll leave oil stains on their clothes, or if it's left out and it's not in a cool area or if it's not in a refrigerator, it mm-hmm. melts. So we took all of that into consideration. It's one of those you watch other people make mistakes and then you come back and you learn from theirs kind of thing. So mm-hmm. it was, you know, we wanted to make sure that our products did not do those things that we were hearing from mm-hmm. other people. And so even at the expo that we just did, we had someone say, oh my God, your stuff is not nowhere near as greasy, or it doesn't feel like the girl I just bought some from, you know. So she kind of regretted that she didn't come mm-hmm. to our table first.
Right.
And it's just things like that we take into consideration when making any product of mm-hmm. what a consumer would consider and what they would like or would not mm-hmm. like. So, yeah.
So that being said, how do you get the voice of the customer and feedback from your customers? Because I know, like, when you're coming out with a new product, you don't want to get out there and then have to revise it. So do you do any kind of, like, market testing before you actually launch something?
We do.
We do. We have, you know, people that we'll say, here, try this, because mm-hmm. we're going to launch something. I'm not going to say what it is, but we're going to launch something hopefully next month. And we've tested it out. And mm-hmm. so we've gotten very positive feedback. I know I like it. Yeah. Brittany likes it.
So we have like a little focus group, mm-hmm. so to speak, that we have. And then we also we send out samples with purchases.
Yes.
So our customers, they'll email mm-hmm. us like, oh my God, what is that that you sent me? It smells mm-hmm. really good. I like that. And so even like when people ask us to be sponsors, sometimes mm-hmm. we'll test out a new product, mm-hmm. give it as samples, and just kind of see what the feedback is. And a lot mm-hmm. of times it's been very positive. Mm-hmm. So it's been working that way. So mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And so, so since we've heard a lot about like the company itself in the business, we know that it has an interesting name, Zuri, and the end is silent. So I just wanted to know where it came from.
Zuri means beautiful in Swahili. Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm just going to be completely transparent with this. You know, like I said, initially when we started the brand, we had us in mind. But it's so funny because now a lot of our clientele are non-Black. And so they're so fascinated and they're very inspired by hearing the meaning of it. And it's just not like a pretty name. And it's like, this name is from Africa, mm-hmm. you know. And so a lot of white women, a lot of Hispanics, and a lot of Asian women, they are like they just gravitate towards our brand mm-hmm. and the name. And so we're really happy that we came up with that. We wanted women to feel beautiful about themselves, and we wanted women of any shape or size or shade to just feel like they're at the spa when they're using our products.
And beauty has no color or age. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we usually tell women. Mm-hmm. You know, Zuri means beautiful in Swahili, mm-hmm. and it has no color or age. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
It just, mm-hmm. it helps all women be beautiful.
Absolutely.
And so you did mention, though, earlier that you were formulating the products specifically with women of color in mind. And so what kind of ingredients or formulations do you mix together in order to be able to have a product that is more for African-American women than other women?
Well, for I'll speak on that. We choose oils that are, I target in and research oils that are moisturizing, that will seep well into your skin, that is good for your hair, that is multi-purpose. And so one of the favorite oils that I really like to use is baobab. And it derives from Africa. It comes from the baobab tree. And it's a very expensive oil, but it's not commonly known. And that was another thing that sort of got my attention, because I don't want to use what everyone else is using. Yeah. I want something different, and that's going to. And so when we explain to our consumers what oils that we use, we use grapeseed oil, we use avocado oil, sweet almond oil,
jojoba
oil. All of those oils are very moisturizing. And so because we always talk about our products are moisturizing and good for your skin, that's what we hone in on, things that are going to be moisturizing, that are non-greasy, that really seeps into your skin easily.
Yeah, I love that. So that's really interesting. Yeah. I'm sure it's great for your marketing, both the names and the ingredients
absolutely
would be really great for your marketing
to
highlight your points of differences. So.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and so just to kind of switch gears a little bit, I wanted to talk about the skincare industry itself. So the natural and organic beauty market is really huge right now. This year it's worth $39 billion. So every day it's thriving with new brands and new products. So how do you guys make yourselves stand out? So like, what would you say to a customer that would say, you know, why this brand? Why can I go get this one? Why should I choose Zuri?
Well, I think just overall our brand stands out because a lot of people, they get so surprised that a mother and daughter can do business together. And so, you know, my mom and I, we've always had a great relationship my entire life. It's just been us for a long time. And so just that off bat kind of, It captures people's attention, like, oh wow, you guys are mother and daughter, and you make the stuff too, and then
get along,
and then when you educate our customers on the various ingredients that we use and like where our names comes from, it just grabs their attention and it makes them want to know more. And the fact that we make our products and it is a product of great quality, you know, people are very surprised, and just the way it looks, it doesn't look like we actually hand put the labels on ourselves.
Yeah, most people are very surprised that we do everything ourselves.
And so just all of that collectively, I think, grabs the attention and sets us apart.
Yeah. So just a question, just going off of that, you say that you make your products and stuff yourself. Where exactly, like, do you guys have like a factory, or is it like in the basement?
We are still homemade.
Okay.
Yes. And so we do not have a manufacturer. A lot of people that we know, like just various other entrepreneurs, they either are private label, whether they just kind of just slap their name on it, no shade at all, but that's what private label is.
Yeah.
And then some people, they make it, but it looks like they made it, whether it's handwritten or like the label, you know, and we have gone through changes with our labels as well, but we've always, to the best of our ability, try to make it look as polished as possible. And so I think that's another thing that sets us apart.
Yeah, that's incredible. So would you say that is what makes you most equipped, like the best people to run this business?
Yes, because my mom is an aromatherapist, and I'm an esthetician. So, you know, we weren't an esthetician and aromatherapist when we first started this business, but we wanted to take the extra mile to really educate ourselves and not just come up with products that we like and that our friends like. But we wanted to educate ourselves on what type of oil that we use, what does it do, you know, how does it make you feel on the inside and outside.
Right.
And just, you know, your skin is your biggest organ that's on your body, so why not take care of it, you know? So it's just being very educated in the skincare industry will definitely take your business to the next level. So I think that's what makes it, you know, important.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was the biggest organ, but I guess when you think about it,
right,
you have skin on every part of your body.
Absolutely.
So, like, totally makes sense.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly.
You guys also mentioned earlier that customer service is something that made you stand out. What is your customer service process like?
Well, we've had people to, be transparent, to order something from us and to say that they didn't get it. And so after we've done our due diligence, instead of, you know, going back and forth, yes, you did, no, I didn't yet, we just, here, you know.
Here's another one.
Exactly, here's another one.
Or the customer's always right.
You know, not always, but most of the time.
Right.
Yeah, you're like, people looking at that.
Well, look.
Ooh, let me say, I didn't get it.
I didn't get that.
Right, no. Right.
But I, you know, I'm big on customer mm-hmm. service because I want to treat people that support us, mm-hmm. that purchase from us, how I would want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And I've purchased, you know, hair care online products, you know, online. And another thing that we do is a handwritten note. And that was one thing that when I first purchased this online hair care product, I received a handwritten note. And it wasn't generic. It said, Adrian, thank you for your business. That stuck out with me.
Yeah.
So that's something that uh-huh. we do with every order. No matter if someone purchases from mm-hmm. us, we sit down and we handwrite a note thanking you
yeah.
for supporting us, for, you know, trying our products. Mm-hmm. And they always come back. We've had people to post, you know, oh, we had a
note.
Exactly.
Right. Instead
you
of
know,
sticking a sticker media. On there
right.
saying thank you for your
right.
purchase.
Right, because mm-hmm. that's just so, you know, insensitive to me.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that we do.
Another thing that I would piggyback off is, you know, we market ourselves as a luxury brand. Our products are great quality, and any brand that you can think of, or business or company that is that's luxury, whether it's Chanel or if you go into Nordstrom's or just anywhere, their customer service is superb. Whether you go to a, like, you know, fine dining restaurant, they treat you like you're a billionaire. And so I feel like that your customer service, no matter what product that you're selling, should reflect that as well. You want your customers to come back and feel good that they are spending their money with you, and they don't mind spending an extra few dollars on a souffle or a shower gel because of the whole experience. It's the whole package.
Mm-hmm. And we do the yeah. same even at vending events. You know, mm-hmm. we go come behind our table and we interact with people. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're touch. Oh, hi, good morning. How are you? You know, all
very
to
personable.
Me very personal. Mm-hmm. All of that to me goes a long way.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember when I bought from you guys at the fair, I got a nice bag with some tissue paper in it. So it definitely elevated the whole experience. And it's really smart of you to think about the customer service, because you're right, like companies like Apple, Nordstrom's, that's really kind of what makes them stand out.
Absolutely.
Is that they have good customer service, and they go to extra step even to train their employees, like
absolutely.
A whole probably like a week of training just
absolutely.
On customer service alone.
Yes.
So yeah, definitely great ideas to incorporate that. And it's probably what you said, you want to be treated like you're treated.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, because just as an example, if you were going to Walmart, you know, how many times have we can say that we've gone to Walmart, you're looking for an associate to help you with something mm-hmm. or, you know, it's that customer service is just not the same, mm-hmm. but they market themselves as, you know, they focus on the prices being low opposed to
that's
the experience,
right,
you know,
right.
so mm-hmm. it's just different. So
yeah.
we market our customer experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in skincare, people, that's like one of the biggest things people
yes.
are looking for too, is that luxury and that whole thing is part of skincare, so I can see how it fits in.
Absolutely.
It's all about being pampered.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that is our tagline.
Right.
We offer the
yeah.
luxury spa experience in the comfort of your home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Okay. So with that being established, what is the top selling products that you guys have right now, and what makes it so popular, your top selling product?
I would say our Triple Whipped Body Soufflé is our top-selling product. It comes in three fragrances as of now. It comes in a lavender chamomile, a Moroccan rose, and it comes in a citrus mimosa. And it has a shea butter base. It's infused with essential oils, and it's literally hand-whipped. And so that's where you get that smooth kind of, it's a heavy cream, but it's loose. It's not stiff like how it was when we first came out. So that is our definitely top seller.
And our body oils is very popular as well.
Hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
our body oils have done very well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the moisturizing
yeah,
impact
yeah.
of that.
Because I use the body
ingredient.
Oil in my hair.
Yeah,
you
so
know,
I put it on
yeah.
my lashes,
yeah.
on my eyebrows.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
gotta go get some of that.
Yes.
yeah.
And one thing that, just looking at you two, like, that I really admire is that as a mother-daughter duo, you guys work really well together. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, no problem. And I think when you're going into a business, it's really difficult to find the right partner. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, you two work together really well from what I can see. So how is that process like? Like, what is it really like to work with, to work together?
Well, because we've always had a very, very close relationship, I know that Brittany has my back no matter what, good, bad, or indifferent. I always know that she has my back. I always know that she's going to be my biggest supporter, and she's also going to be my biggest critic. And to tell me, no, that's not good. No, that doesn't look right. Oh, you shouldn't do that. So that works really well. And the question that I always get is, how, you know, is it really the way we see it, you know, your relationship? And I say yes. And there are times that we don't necessarily agree. Right. You know, you won't always agree. And so if there's an idea that I like and she doesn't, or vice versa, we've agreed to table it and then think about it and come back. And I, because I am the mother, I'm not sorry to say that, well, you know what, you're right. Your idea was better. It doesn't matter. It's always what's best for the company, what's best for the brand. It's not about me being right because I'm the mother, or, you know, I supposedly have the wisdom or anything of that nature. It's about what's best for what we're trying to do and the direction that we're trying to go.
And I would also say that, you know, we've learned because we've had, because we've never worked with each other prior to this, we've had to learn how to respect each other's spaces and each other's roles. Mm-hmm. Like, it's certain things that I'm better at that she may not, I'm not saying she's not good at it, but I'm better, and then vice versa. Right. That, so we've learned to just respect each other's roles. Like, hey, I don't have to worry about this because I know you're better at it, so how about you do that, and then vice versa. So just learning to establish roles in certain aspects of the company and respecting the space is definitely something that has helped, and we've maintained that since, you know, since the beginning.
So do you have any advice for people looking to get into the business and working together with, you know, their partners?
Well, just piggybacking off what I said, definitely learning to respect, you know, one another's roles and their space. Learning that you're not always right and the other person is not always right. Don't force it if it's not a good feeling.
A good fit, partnership fit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because they always say don't go to business with your friends, but some friends can go into business together. Right. And then just like family members, you know, there are Caucasian families that they've been going into business with each other for years. Yeah. And so it's definitely possible. It's just learning to have that, you know, respect, that mutual respect. Right. Like my mom and I respect her as my mother, but in business, we're business partners.
Right.
So, you know, you have to learn how to be able to take one hat off and put the other one on. And so I think that that is vital when going to business with whether you're husband and wife or mother and daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's important.
Yeah.
I would say, advice. I would piggyback off on that and say, you know, make sure someone that you can trust. Mm-hmm. Because early on, you know, we had ventured into partnerships with, not necessarily with the brand, but just for someone to work with us on certain projects. Mm-hmm. And their ethics or their integrity wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And so when you're going into business, you definitely want to make sure that you're working with someone who has the same ethics that you have, that has integrity, that is a person of their word. Because when you're really trying to find your lane, a lot of times your word is the only thing that you will have. And you have to be a person of your word. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be there. Those things are important. Mm-hmm. You
especially
know,
so working with someone else.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Good advice.
Yeah, it's really good advice.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like it's really just about creating those boundaries and respecting what you have together and making it work with your strengths.
Absolutely. And then one
not
other
thing. Not
be
afraid to walk away if it isn't.
Right.
When you get ready to say
that. Well, no, I was just going to say that, you know, you want to connect with someone who's going to represent the brand that like you would. You know, you guys may be cool, you guys may go out and everything, but what they may put on their social media, you might wouldn't do. And so if you guys were to come together as a business, it might compromise the integrity of the business. And so that's something important that you want to, when you're going to business with anyone, that you want them, how they represent themselves and their image, you kind of want that to correlate with your image as well.
With your image, yeah.
I think that's big.
Makes sense. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. We live in an e-commerce world, as you guys know. Right now, there's some generations that are digital natives. They have not lived when there wasn't a computer. And because of that, a lot of people are spending more and more time online. So it's really important to tap into this audience. So how do you grow your business online? How do you reach that customer? And then how do you grow the business online?
Social media is a major thing because you can reach people. We can be in Chicago, Illinois, and reach people from Australia or North Dakota. I mean, you know, you can reach people from everywhere. And so the consistency is the biggest thing when generating sales and getting people to come to your website, not only but come, but add to the cart and actually buy. And so it's one thing to have people visit and have the traffic, but if no one's purchasing, then, you know, what are you really doing? So email marketing, social media, and just staying consistent is something that is like one big umbrella when it comes, or just, I would say, all is in the equation to equal online sales. So just staying consistent with what you post, educating your customers, you know, saying why it's important, all of those things I feel like fall into what generates online sales and why it's important.
Do you sell a lot online now, or is it mostly brick and mortar or events?
I would say it'll be both because we have online sales, you know, and then some days it's good, some days it's not so good. But we have vending events and expos that we do as well. So because we do those, it kind of makes up for the shortcomings that we do have online. And that's just being completely transparent.
But then even at the vending events, we've had people to go online after.
Oh, yeah, right. Absolutely. So we constantly, we're constantly gaining new customers. They're adding to the mailing list. Exactly. And so, you know, that definitely does generate more online sales.
And it could be also you know, the awareness and getting that awareness out there online and having a strategy to drive them to the website.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. But I do think it's a great idea to get in front of the customer because that's how you get that personal connection with them.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But then you can nurture the relationship after that.
Exactly.
Through the email and through, you know, online marketing and things like that. So.
Because we have a skincare line, you want, like you said, to be in front of people so they can touch, feel, smell. A lot of people, they may not be so willing to purchase if they, you know, unless they've read raving reviews or unless they've seen like before and after pictures or they smelled it or, you know, I think all of that goes into play. And because if you didn't have any of that, I mean, I don't know anything about your product except you saying that it's a good product.
Definitely.
What challenges have you faced with selling your product online? And has there been any platform that you've struggled with to get, like, traction or get attention?
I would say a challenge that we've had was to create our own website initially.
Oh, my God.
You know, just like you when you were talking about, like, oh, what's taking her so long with the podcast? We were saying that, too. Like, what is taking these people so long? It shouldn't take that long to build a website.
Right.
One time we sat in the kitchen for 16 hours straight. The only time we got up was to use the restroom and possibly get a lunch break in. But we sat in the kitchen for 16 hours straight to create a website that once the day was over with, we still didn't have a website.
So I hate that.
That was definitely a challenge for us that we end up like, you know what, somebody's just going to have to do this. Why it takes so long now. So definitely, that has been a huge challenge just to create that platform in general. And As far as other challenges go, what else would you say, Mom, as far as online? Sometimes it is hard to get online sales if you're not like that big, known brand.
Yeah, if you haven't experienced our product, it is challenging.
Yeah.
You know, but I say this with great confidence that once you've tried it, then people, we have not, to my knowledge, had anyone to say, I didn't really care for that. Now, they may not particularly care for that particular scent,
right,
but the product, they've always liked.
Right. And so, just like going back to what you said about brand awareness, that's where that comes in and plays a big part, is to just constantly get your brand out there every single day. You should be talking about, well, we should be talking about Zuri Body Essentials. Because just getting that brand out there, you're going to come across someone who does not know mm-hmm. about it. And mm-hmm. so just to get over that hill, it definitely took a lot for us to realize that, hey, we have to talk about this 24/7. You know, I don't care if you get sick of it.
Right.
You know, it's just like if someone plays a song on the radio, like, oh my God, they played this song every single time I turn it on. But you know about it. You probably know the words. Yes. It may not even be a song that you really care for, but right. you find yourself singing it.
You find yourself humming the song.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So that's how we want to be for Zuri. So yeah, same thing.
So that's good. And so that being said, you guys are experts in the skincare industry. So I'm really interested in knowing, what other brands do you follow online, and are there any that you like what they do online, their online presence, and that you try to emulate?
I like, personally, Josie Maran. Excuse me. It is a skincare line. They offer products for the face and body, and I like that. I like their packaging. I like how they promote argan oil. It's like their key ingredient, and that they include that in almost all of their products. And so they really capitalize on that, and they have built a community just based upon that one ingredient. And so that's something that I do, I don't want to say idolize, but I definitely look at for inspiration, just how they have created a community, and their price point is similar to ours, maybe a few dollars more, but just their overall packaging, it looks luxe, and it makes you want, like, oh, what is this? And so I would say Josie Maran, and then if you want to go like on a higher end, Jo Malone has great products. I feel like I love them. Yeah. It smells really good.
Right, yes.
And I like the way they market their stuff, where it just down to the packaging, how they have the bow and then the boxes. Mm-hmm. They really take pride and take a lot of time in how they package their products. So I look to them as inspiration as well. I told you I'm a product freak, so I could just start naming
that's why I looked to bring up this one.
Well, those are two great ones to look at, and so I'm going to check those their social media presence out and see what they're doing right, especially because I know you guys are experts in this space, so I want to see, like, those two brands, what they're doing.
Yes.
But I want to also talk to you guys about what it's like to be a Black woman in the business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a Black woman in the business. I'm also Chicago-based, so just wondering, like, what is it like to be a Black woman-owned business, and then also, how do you make connections here in Chicago?
I would say it has its pros and cons like everything else. A lot of times when you, as a Black woman, if you try to collaborate or do business with other Black women, sometimes it's amazing. You know, you can make great connections. You know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. Mm-hmm. You know, that is what we all want. But then a lot of times, as we know, that you can deal with people who aren't as professional, or they look at you or perceive you to be somewhere that they think you are, and they treat you differently just because of what they perceive as. And so they don't know. It's like, by the look of our products, a lot of people think we have this big manufacturing company, but we are at home hand making everything. And so we're still like in that grind stage of our business. And so some Black women who have approached us, or who we've had some sort of conversation with, they, it's like their demeanor changes with us because of how they perceive us to be doing very well, mm-hmm. or better. And so it's like they're intimidated for whatever mm-hmm. reason. And it's mm-hmm. like, that's not what we're doing here. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we're all equal. We're all trying
right.
to elevate our business to the next level.
Yeah.
It also has its pros, because I say this all the time. I said, Mom, we just love black girls from Chicago. And, you know, when you see white women who just love and rave our products or just non-black so good, women who just love and rave our products and they are continuing customers, it really makes me feel good because we know where this country is. It's very divided. Mm-hmm. We know, you know, what some people, well, we don't know what some people may be saying at their kitchen tables once they go home, you know, but to really get that support from other non-black people, it's a great feeling. Mm-hmm. It's a great feeling.
Good.
Yeah. And so, just to switch gears again, it's almost the end of October, so that means the holidays are coming up and Black Friday is right around the corner.
Yes.
So, do you guys have any particular plans in place to take advantage of that huge surge in online traffic?
Yes. For Black Friday, we are going to have not a relaunch of our website, but we are having a whole new website look that will be coming out. And we're going to have a few other great things going into the new year that I don't want to necessarily talk about yet, but we have stocking stuffers that, you know, they loved last year. You know, a lot of people, they may want to buy their coworkers. They want to spend like $20, but they don't want to spend too much.
Right.
It's perfect for that. We have travel sets and all kind of gift sets that we have that we'll be having available for Black Friday and for just the remaining of the holiday year.
And the trio sets did really well.
Yes, the trio sets.
So it's the 3 2-ounce souffles.
Oh, okay.
And it'll be the three fragrances, our top three fragrances. And it comes in a little zipper bag, so it's a great gift. You know, for
right, and then all of the little cosmetic bags that we have, they're reusable, so you can use it, throw your makeup in there, travel. And so a lot of times around the holiday season, we sell smaller products because people, they want to try it and they may be apprehensive to buy the biggest jar, you know, just from the gate. But it, like you said, it uses great, gift sets, you know, so that those are our plans. And we have really big plans coming up. But I just want to, until, you know, certain things you just got to keep under wraps for right now, but
it's not the official time to know.
Right.
Focusing on the holidays right now.
But yes, we will be announcing those very soon.
Okay. Can't wait to hear. Sounds exciting. Mm-hmm. So I know you guys are also excited about the fact that you're at East Bank Club.
Yes.
And so how has that impacted your business?
The East Bank Club has been amazing for our business because when we've gone to different vending events and we say that our product is at the East Bank Club, they were like, oh my God. Those that are, you know, familiar with the East Bank Club. And so it has brought our product, awareness to our product on various levels because, as you know, there's so many people that are members of the East Bank Club that are a certain status of where we're trying to reach that audience. And so it has been really great for us that our products are at the East Bank Club.
Yeah,
this summer,
Star Jones, we've met her a couple times, dropping off our products. She's used our products before. Our products have been used on their rooftop in the cabanas. So you have people who are like doctors, lawyers, judges, you know, who are buying our products. And so I just feel like it just kind of correlates of what we market our brand as anyway, as being this luxury spa experience that we're offering. And so it's like, it's just the perfect thing of why not have it at a place like the East Bank Club.
Right.
Our citrus mimosa, as Brittany was saying, was used on the rooftop for the massages for the summer, and it was a big hit.
And so now, because they're buying it there at the East Bank Club, it's generating sales because a lot of them are purchasing gifts, and then people are going to our website like, well, what is this? And so it has definitely generated traffic, not only to our social media pages, but to our website.
Nice. So, yeah, I'm sure you'll see a surge during the holidays, too.
Yes, we're really excited
with that
about
association.
That. Yes.
So, we've talked about a lot, and we want to start concluding this podcast. We're so excited that you guys joined us.
Thank you.
Just to conclude, your business is well underway, And so do you have, you talked a little about some huge announcements. And so I don't know if you can tell us kind of like the areas that you're planning to expand. Do you plan to add more scents or will you just expand beyond the shower gels, souffles, and exfoliators that you have now?
I would say yes to all of that.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We are going to be coming out with more fragrances. And you know, we are always wanting to hear feedback from our consumers, and so we are going to be expanding and coming out with more fragrances, new packaging for the new fragrances, and you know, we have some programs that we're going to be putting in place. I'll just say that where it would allow you to get products on a monthly basis.
Okay,
so we're excited. All right.
And we're coming out with a few other new products as well.
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
That's
okay.
Really
exciting. Yes. So 2020 is going to be really exciting. For
yes. 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 And we're trying to have product placement in various stores. You know, mm-hmm. So that's what we're looking to branch off into, is getting on some more shelves in the year 2020.
Okay.
A couple of more spots. We'd like to be in a few more spots.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been really fun talking to you guys.
Thank you
again for joining us here on Zora Talks.
Such
and
a pleasure.
We'll be on the lookout for you, what's happening in 2020, and especially those gift sets during the holidays, too.
Yes, such a pleasure. And we can't thank you enough. It's been an amazing conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brittany and Adrian brought us such great perspective about how brands can make their customers feel beautiful and appreciated through great customer service. And they gave us great tips on how to take your business offline to create face-to-face connections. Thank you, Adrian and Brittany. And thank you, listeners, for joining us in our goal of bringing in a community of visionaries dedicated to making the world healthier. Be sure to follow us on social media at Zora Digital. Talk up, talking up is what Zora Talks is all about. Tune in next month for episode 9. Zora Digital is a digital marketing consulting firm based in Chicago. We help healthy lifestyle brands with a spirit of innovation navigate the digital landscape and create significant ROI.